And you're listening to Classical IPR. I'm Tom Paulson in Studio A with a pianist that we've been listening to on Interlochen Public Radio for many years, Michel D'Alberto. Greetings, Michel.
Good morning.
And welcome to Interlochen Public Radio. You've been visiting Interlochen the last couple of days, first time visit to Interlochen, sharing your knowledge and passion for great music with Interlochen students and faculty. I was able to attend your recital yesterday in the Dendrinos Chapel and so enjoyed and was so impressed by your playing. And you were born into a non-musical family, and yet you are one of the great pianists of the world. How did that happen? What got you involved in music?
Well, I guess it's being born in a non-musical family, but with parents who enjoyed music and were interested into music. And I remember that my mom was listening regularly to a radio station called France Musique. For Christmas, I think I was 3 and a half, I got as a present a small a toy, but a small piano.
Like a Schroeder piano. The Charlie Brown Peanuts cartoon.
Oh, yes.
With Schroeder, the pianist, who's being dogged by...
Probably, yes.
By Lucy, yes.
Yes,
okay.
Yes. But normally, a child who wouldn't be really interested in music or in piano would have just destroyed the toy in 3 or 4 days. And I didn't. And instead of destroying it, I was rather interested and tried to play on this small keyboard what I heard from the radio, from a recording. So a close friend of my parents, who was an amateur pianist, told them that it would be a good thing for me to get some lessons. So I had a professor, a teacher, when I was 4, probably, or something like that. Mm-hmm. Yes, I don't like to speak about gifts, because I don't believe really in gifts. But I had a good DNA for the music, that's all. Mm-hmm. Yes, my first public appearance, I was very young, I was 5 and a half, so... And at that age, I played already a waltz by Chopin, a sonatina by Beethoven, and some pieces by Bach and Mozart. But every talented child is capable of doing that. So there is nothing special about it for me.
Well, by age 12, you were studying at the Paris Conservatory.
It was a great, great chance in my life between age 5 and 12 to realize suddenly when I was about 12 that I was not going to be a lawyer, but a concert pianist. So for them, it was just another world. So we arranged an appointment, and I went to see Vlado Perlmutter. So Vlado Perlmutter, maybe he's not so well known in the States, but there was, first of all, one of the favorite pupil of Alfred Cortot. And he was also not a student, but he was able to visit regularly Maurice Ravel and play for Ravel all his piano music that he had studied.
At the recital yesterday, you played some of the, as you mentioned, music of Gabriel Fauré. You played Gaspard de la Nuit of Maurice Ravel. Mm. And I was surprised at how what normally comes across as kind of gentle music had such force and power the way you played it, but also tenderness. How do you teach that to piano students, several of which were in the house yesterday in the chapel, watching you and listening to you with their mouths hanging open, with your technique and your emotion and your communication through that music? How do you teach that?
Well, some of the elements you are referring to are impossible to teach. You can't teach a young student how to be emotional. It comes from him or her, and he or she has that or not. And you just can't do anything about that. Just to tell a student, you know, you were not very emotional, could you add some emotion? You don't add emotion. You have this emotion. Mm-hmm. You are able to bring it and to share it with the audience. or not. And that's as simple as that. Now, I was interested in the first part of your question about this element of force, of passion. It's interesting because there is always this idea that French are good for French music and Russian are good for Russian music and German for German music, and that the Russian playing, of course, is very passionate and very with a great force, great power, and that. And French, it's a little more reserved, a little more sort of, I don't have all the words.
Yes, but I understand what you're saying.
You see what I mean. Mm-hmm. And I'm very glad that you really very satisfied at what you said, because that means that I'm crossing borders.
So there is some nationality involved.
Absolutely,
yes.
But then the way of performing it. Mm-hmm. One of my best, one of the best critique I ever had was when I played the Rachmaninoff 4th Piano Concerto, number 4, in Russia. And I got a critic in Moscow saying that there was no Russian pianist capable to play this music like that.
You've gotten a lot of excellent critical acclaim. I have been reading many plaudits for your playing from around the world. Might we hear some of your playing right now in the studio?
Yeah, it depends what you want to hear.
If you could play one of the impromptus of Fauré.
Well, impromptu, yes, I can. Thanks God I play one of them.
We're coming to you from Interlaken Public Radio Studio A, and we're about to hear Michel D'Alberto, the pianist, play in Studio A. Thank you. Music of Gabriel Fauré, one of the impromptus, and Michel D'Alberto. Thank you for playing that. Which impromptu, how would we identify that?
That's the number three in A-flat. I have to apologize because I haven't played this impromptu for, I don't remember how many years. And
oh
there
goodness.
Were a slight lapse of memory at the end, and I'm very sorry.
I wouldn't have known otherwise. But it prompts a question. I threw that suggestion to you. Mm-hmm. You immediately stood up and went to the piano and said, yes, I can do that. How does your mind work? How do you not only recall that particular work, but recall it in such detail? You played an hour and a half recital yesterday, and there was no music in front of you for the entire recital. How do you remember the intricate notes in that linear way? How does that work?
A musician, I mean, or a pianist, but it's also true for a violinist, has, I think, three different memories. We have audio memory, which is probably the most important, the fingers, and the visual memory. My visual memory is very bad. Very bad. My audio memory is, I think I can say that, remarkable.
Wow, that's
no.
That's good.
It's just I'm so glad that I have this memory, and also the finger, and it's interesting because from time to time I noticed that even before the ear, my fingers tell me that I'm wrong. It happened once, many years ago. I was playing a Schubert sonata, one of the last one, A major, Deutsch 959. And in the last movement, the main theme comes back quite short. In the movement is in A major, and it comes back in F sharp major. And then it gets back to A major. I don't know what happened, but maybe I enjoyed this F-sharp major, you know. My ear didn't say, you know, this is wrong. It was my fingers, because my fingers suddenly sent me a message saying, we have never played that. We have never been on those keys, you know, in this tune. So it's fine, but I mean, it's not. And suddenly I realized, well, now what am I going to do? I have to go back to get back to this A major key. So I had suddenly to imagine how to get back from this F sharp major to A major. And I have to say that I was so thankful to the education I received at the Paris Conservatoire. Not only the piano, but I mean also harmony, counterpoint, all those classes, because that's in a moment like that, that you realize how strong and how good the education you receive in this school is, and helps you to have a full image and comprehension, understanding of the music, how it's made.
Yes.
Which is so important. And it's something that many people who are not professional musicians do not realize, that music, there is a music making, and that is exactly what what you learn in a great school like the Paris Conservatoire, how it's made.
So there is a composition, and you couple that with the artist and the artist's interpretation of that work. And how much is subject to interpretation in many of these pieces? I know that's a big question.
But it is.
A lot? I mean, is it a guide that you must read and play back? Or are you allowed liberties when you play a piece of music like that?
You know, earlier in our conversation, I told you that if I had not been a musician, I should have probably go to the university and do my law studies and become a judge. I have a great admiration for judges, because I find that we musicians and the judge have a lot of mutual things, I mean, together. First of all, we have in front of us, we have a text. Okay, that's his notes. The judge has sentences, but it's a text. It's a form of a law for us. the composer, who is the creator. We are not the creators. We are just interprets, which is very different. But the creator has written very clearly the notes he wants to hear, and the way, I mean, so to speak, the way it must be played. So we are like a judge. We have to interpret the law, indications like that, that we have a flexibility to decide, like probably a judge. There is even more between judge and musicians. Mm. For instance, we have some interpretation of musicians of the past who have become sort of precedent references. And if you speak, for instance, of the Chopin waltz, it's almost impossible not to mention Dino Lipatti's performance. Mm-hmm. And if you speak of Schubert sonatas, it's almost impossible not to mention, and I'm not going to say Michel d'Alberto.
Oh, I was thinking
No. Alfred Brendel's. Uh-huh. Or, I mean, you see what I mean?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Or Tchaikovsky concerto, it's impossible not to mention Vyacheslav Richter. I mean, we have that also, this kind of...
Interesting concept. Well, you mentioned earlier interpreting Russian music. Might you play something relatively brief, because we're running short on time, but something by Scriabin?
Yeah, Scriabin is probably the only Russian composer that I'm really enjoying to play. I hardly play. I mean, I play two piano concerto by Rachmaninoff, number 1 and 4. Hmm. Never played the number 2, and thank God never played this number 3 that I just can't stand. No, it's just too long for me. And the solo piano music, it's not. I know that it's not just not my music. But Scriabin, for some reason, maybe because it's closer to Ravel, Debussy, to this impressionist world, I have found my way, you know, to play Scriabin. Yes, very short. Well, it will be a poem, probably.
Okay. A poem by Scriabin, played in Studio A by Michel d'Alberto. Thank you. pianist Michel D'Alberto. Thank you so much for being here with us at Interlochen Public Radio. Bon voyage, and thank you so much. You're listening to Classical IPR, Interlochen Public Radio, Michel D'Alberto, live in Studio A.